Listen, it just irks me to death that you've got this absolutely asinine thing going on where men who think they're women are then allowed to compete in women's sports. We've talked about it. We've talked about it a lot on this show. The issue is not yet going away. I really believe that a big part of this is because in the environment that we've been in the last 4 years, progressive left has felt empowered. They have felt like they can get away with pretty much anything, and they have. You've got a Biden-Harris administration that has empowered them at every step. Keep in mind that what we're looking at right now with the issue of transgender participation in sports, specifically men who think they're women participating in women's sports and gaining an advantage because that's, you know, they're biologically men, that is being empowered for them officially by the U.S. government. Not a little bit, a lot. One of the most specific means by which we're seeing that happen is through a revision or a reinterpretation, if you will, of Title IX. Title IX being the law that was passed decades ago to allow for equality in education and sporting, and among other things. But Title IX was put there for a reason. It was put there to ensure that biological females are on an even keel, open playing field with males. In other words, if you go to a school and they've got a baseball field, there's very likely going to have to be a softball field. There's going to have to be a basketball court, or at least access to a basketball court that men and women can both play on. You're going to have to do the things necessary to make sure there is equal opportunity, not equity, but equal opportunity. Well, when you go to the Democrat side of things and all you hear is equity, 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 when they forget that it's about equality, it changes the dynamic. And the equity movement is allowing things like transgenderism in sports, and not just like allowing it, it's mandating it. What do you mean, Phil? Well, the official revision or reinterpretation of Title IX that protects women and women's sports has been distorted officially by the U.S. Department of Education. That's the Biden-Harris U.S. Department of Education. They came out with a reinterpretation. It's not legal. Oh, by the way, it was not done by Congress. It was done by executive fiat by a department. But it was done with the full authority and the backing of the Biden-Harris administration. And this mandate said that education arenas to include sports will provide the same for transgenders who believe that they are of a different sex than it would if they were just pursuing their biological sex, meaning dudes can compete in women's sports, meaning schools have to provide, you know, joint use of the bathrooms and showers and locker rooms. And you look at it, that makes no sense. You're right, it makes no sense. It makes no sense unless you bought into the idea that gender is fluid. Unless you bought into the idea that science no longer matters. Unless you bought into the idea that someone can say, today, I'm going to be a woman. But you're not. But I am. Why? Because I say so. Listen, all that does is just create confusion. But it also, I will say this, it also creates an unfair dynamic for women. There is no doubt that muscular structure and bone structure and any number of things that like size and strength, all of it. The male sex is different than the female sex. It just is. It does not mean they are less capable people. But if you go out to a golf course, you will see there's two different tee boxes. If you will go to a weightlifting competition, you will see there are two different versions of what is considered a heavyweight, male and female. If you look at boxing, I mean, there are sports now that women compete in that never used to have women in them, but they compete as women. And what we're watching right now is a revision, not only of biology, it's a revision of culture. And it's awful. But it's also creating staggering disparity for women. Women who have literally trained their entire lives to be at the top of their particular sport are now finding that it no longer matters, because when they run their race or swim their meet or lift their weights or do whatever competition that they've signed up for and trained for and been a part of for years, that suddenly it no longer matters that they tried so hard and trained so hard, because someone with an unfair advantage is just allowed in because they say. So you got guys who were mediocre in the guys category are now coming in, and oh, they're all in and breaking all the riddle, taking all the medals and breaking all the records. New York Post has an article that I brought up, I think, yesterday or the day before, but I'm gonna touch on it again just to segue into our topic. Because when we get back, I've got some great stuff on this about women who are taking a stand. But the New York Post points out that an eye-opening United Nations report has revealed that upwards of 900 medals have been awarded to men in women's competition. In other words, they were medals that should have gone to women. And that the study is actually titled, interestingly enough, Violence Against Women and Girls in Sports. Violence. And it says that by March of this year, over 600 female athletes in more than 400 competitions have lost more than 890 medals in 29 different sports. 29 different sports. 600 female athletes have had all their training be for naught. The report, it says, surfaced as transgender participation in women's sports remains high on the agenda leading up to the elections. Well, I don't think it's the number one issue in the election, but I think culture is. I think a part of what we're seeing in the momentum swing towards Trump is that people are sick to death of being told that what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. Not the least of which is what they're doing to Title IX and to women's sports. When we get back, I got some good stuff on it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, so we're back on this dipper I'm doing right now, Saving Title IX. Oh, my gosh. So the idea that someone would wake up one day and decide, today I'm going to be a woman, and that the rest of the world is supposed to get on board with that. Let me just remind you guys that gender dysphoria is actually a psychological diagnosis. And gender dysphoria, in today's climate, which has been empowered by the Biden administration, gender dysphoria is the only mental illness I know of where we are supposed to get on board with them. In other words, if someone was schizophrenic, if someone was bipolar, if someone suffered from depression, if someone had an eating disorder, if someone, I don't know, pick any number of psychological or deeply rooted mental issues, if somebody was suffering through one of those, which are real and they're painful, if someone was suffering through one of those mental disorders, we would try to raise them up. We try to get them help. If they needed medication because their system was out of whack, we would do that. You would do all the things necessary, counseling, and you would find a way to restore them, right? Find a way to bring them out of it and restore them and bring them back to a quality of life, but not with gender dysphoria. No, not in the Biden-Harris climate, not in the days of liberal progressivism. No, we're supposed to get on board with it. We're supposed to join them in their gender dysphoria. Nowhere else do I know of in the medical field is there a diagnosis which, in order to make it better, requires healthy people to do unhealthy things with them. Think about it. You are literally asking, literally asking for the healthy people that don't suffer the disorder to join those who are unhealthy in acting out their disorder, because somehow that's affirming. Well, it's not. We should not have to join the crazy. Sane people should not have to join the crazy for the crazy to get better. It doesn't work like that. Anyway, that being said, one of the neatest moments that I've seen of late, and I've got this one I pulled off of Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday. The University of Nevada, Reno, this has been a running gun battle right now in women's volleyball. San Jose State has a dude playing on the girls' team. San Jose State women's volleyball team, their star player is a guy. He's breaking records. He's got the hardest kill shots. He's got some of the greatest stats on the volleyball court. He's like 6'2". He's their star player. And they're so proud of him, San Jose State. So far, Southern Utah University, Boise State, University of Wyoming, and Utah State University, and now University of Nevada, Reno, have all forfeited their games against him because they refused to play. Good for them. Good for them. Well, let me take that story one step further. Daily Wire reports that the University of Nevada, Reno's women's volleyball team announced they would not play in the Mountain West Conference match at San Jose State. Okay. And then the university came back and said, no, no, actually you are. That was a statement that was released by the team, and we didn't authorize that, and we are an inclusive environment college. This was done independently without consultation, and so yes, you girls will play. And those girls said, pound sand. The volleyball captain, her name is, I think it's Saya Lilly, she came out and said in the meeting they had with the university officials, she said, I felt in that meeting that we had where our university told us that we would have to play, I felt like I just had no air, like I was being actively silenced. But we're not backing down, she said. We're fighting for this because it affects not only us, it's bigger than just listening to this woman's voice. So this group of young female athletes, they didn't play on that court as they were told they had to do. They didn't go participate in the mental disorder as they were told they had to do. What did they do? They went and held a press conference and said, here's how we feel about it. And as a team, they stood together and they refused to play. Good for them. Riley Gaines, who all of y'all have heard of, Riley Gaines is amazing. She's become the poster person for fighting back against these Title IX revisions. You got that audio clip? So Riley Gaines recently did an event with Tulsi Gabbard, actually, and they talked about this very thing. And Riley had this to say about those young women taking a stand. Go ahead.
San Jose State University has a male on their team.
Lose the clip? Tell me when you're ready. All right. Bottom line is, this is Tulsi Gabbard and Riley Gaines talking about the team playing against San Jose State and then choosing to take a stand. Play it.
Has a male on their team, taking a scholarship, taking a roster spot, taking a travel spot from a hardworking, deserving female athlete. They were set to play yesterday, but during game time, these brave women, Sia and her teammates, which she is the captain of her team, they decided to hold a press conference. They ultimately decided to forfeit the match, understanding that they would accept a loss. Understanding that they would accept a loss, but they said, look, this is a loss that we are willing to accept because some things matter more than victory. And in this case, our safety does. The integrity of sports do. And so I commend their bravery and their leadership, certainly more bravery and leadership than their administration, their university showed.
How about that? That's a great clip. What are you thinking? I see you nodding your head.
It's mind-boggling to me that the university didn't support their own students, and they're more worried about inclusiveness and maybe even legal action towards the school, that they're not even going to back up their own students who are putting their neck on the line and, you know, being brave and speaking up that they don't want to play and they don't feel safe to play, first off. The university is forcing them to play, and it's something that they're openly saying they don't even feel safe to compete in, but yet they're trying to force them to still do that. There's one team that played the San Diego State team, and a girl actually got injured, had to be helped off the court because she got spiked so hard from the male player and hit her in the face, and she got injured from it. They're putting their bodies, you know, well-being on the line, trying to play in the game, and I'm just glad that they still stuck up for what they believed in and did not listen to the university.
And here's the thing. That's University of Nevada, Reno, which means it's a state-funded university, right? So here in Alabama, by the way, we passed a law that prevents this. So in Alabama, this won't happen. In Alabama, these DEI policies are not allowed. And you're not going to find transgender use of bathrooms. And we also, you know, prevent the treatments that are being applied to minors and the surgeries applied to minors. But in Alabama, you're not going to see that happening. This is why it matters who you put in your state legislature. This is why it matters who you put in your governor's office. This is why it matters, oh, by the way, apparently, who's on your board of trustees at your college. Think about that. I would like to know the University of Nevada, Reno, I'd like to know what their board of trustees thinks about the university trying to make them play. And I'm wondering, is anybody on that board of trustees calling the university president saying, what in God's name are you doing? I would hope so. I have no idea. I can't guarantee one way or the other. I would hope so. I would hope that conversation was happening in the background, because right now the university just got you know, face planted. They literally just got the wood put to them by a bunch of volleyball girls who decided, you know what, you can say what you want to, Mr. University President, but we're not playing that game. We're not. We're not doing that, because this is bigger than us, and you can't force us to be something that we're not, and you can't force us to pretend that he's something that he's not. Good for them. Absolutely good for them. Saving Title IX, I mean, it's a huge, huge, huge deal, and that fight's not over. I mean, there's more to come, but I'll tell you, too, a part of what we're seeing right now is a literal empowerment by the progressive left because of what the Biden-Harris administration has allowed to happen. And if we don't see Trump win next week, you're going to see this amplified, because they will believe they received a mandate and that the empowerment will continue. But I do say this, though. I got a story from Daily Signal that I'll tell you right before the break here. Democrats are flip-flopping. So you got right now, Democrats are scrambling to downplay radical positions, according to Daily Signal, on men playing as transgender women into women's sports. Left-wing candidates are walking a fine line as they realize that some of them have tight races. It says nearly three-quarters of registered voters think that biological males should not be allowed to participate in women's and girls' sports, and yet they are. And so you got now, Republicans are slamming Democrats supporting this, and several Democrats have been flip-flopping or scaling back their stances. Like, for instance, Texas Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Colin Allred, who's running against Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz accused him of trying to protect the integrity of women's and girls' sports. Allred denied his voting record, or refusing to protect the integrity of women's and girls' sports. Allred denied his voting record, saying that Cruz's attack was a desperate last-second attempt to distract. He went on to try and say that he's not for that kind of thing. You know, it's what he thinks, you know, about kids in bathrooms. You're not thinking about women in hospitals, trying to pivot to the issue of abortion. You got Mary Peltola running in Alaska for Congress, voted against the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, now trying to soften her stance and claim that it's, you know, it's about culture wars, and let's don't waste our time talking about this right now. You got Representative Gonzalez, Democrat from Texas, released an ad saying that he never supported sex changes after the RNC released an ad campaign slamming him for supporting sex changes for kids. Yeah, it goes on and on. Sherrod Brown in Ohio running a tight race. Suddenly he's lightening up on his positions in the past. Human Rights Campaign had recently endorsed Brown, saying that he supported the irreversible transgender medical interventions for children. And now he's trying to say, well, no, I mean, not really. Listen, they know. They know what they've done. They've allowed the empowerment of a leftist agenda that is harmful, literally harmful to people, to women especially, and to kids. And they're paying the price for it. And I hope they pay the price by losing their jobs and not being allowed in the public sector anymore. All right, we're taking a break. We'll take this last break. I'll be coming back, getting some text messages. Coming up top of the hour, we'll switch to a pre-record because I'm headed out to be the MC for a major event in Birmingham. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.